Wild Tater. I'm Charles Hathaway. You know, when I was in sixth grade, I was really into environmentalism. I wanted to join the Sierra Club and save the world. I was into recycling and pollution, getting rid of it. And I was into all those things that environmentalists were into, basically. And that wore off over time, partly because I came to realize that it all felt negative to me. It was like, this terrible thing is happening, we got to stop doing it. This terrible thing is happening, we got to stop doing this other thing. This terrible thing is happening, we're doomed. And it kind of became a little bit cliche to me, in the sense that it felt like everything was just headed for doomsday. That's all there was to it. And we terrible, cancerous people are destroying the earth, and that's it. And something just rubbed wrong with me over time, and I kind of drifted away from it. And I came later to realize why. And that was simply that what I was studying, what I was learning, wasn't really offering solutions at all. It was offering compensation for things that we were doing, or it was offering a patch for everything going wrong. But I didn't see it as I couldn't see anything about it that was building the environment, building the earth. You know, there's all the save the whales things, and I was all into that when I was in sixth grade, like I said. But what could I do for the whales? Send money? What are the whales going to do with money? Well, of course, we know that organizations are going to use that money to raise awareness about whales being, you know, killed by someone out there. And, you know, it was also vague on the side of things that I could do, and it was so concrete on everything we were doing wrong. You know, every time you turn on your light bulb, you're, you know, wasting energy. Every time you drive in a car, you're polluting the air. And it just felt so, well, what can I do? What can I possibly do? Well, you can turn off your light and stop driving anywhere. Okay, so I can sit and not do anything, and that's helping? I'm missing something here. And of course, I was in sixth grade, so I couldn't understand all the complexities of it, and I'm still only now learning some of the complexities. But when I discovered this concept of agriculture, approaching agriculture from the perspective of making the earth better, something clicked in me, and it took me some time to realize what it was. And now I can tell you straight up what it is. It's a solution. That's what clicked to me. It was offering something that I could do right now that was really genuinely going to help. In fact, I'm still going to be driving my car. I'm still going to be turning on light bulbs and so forth. And I do try to conserve energy as much as I can, and I try not to drive more than necessary and so forth. But that's not my focus at all anymore. Now my focus is taking the land that I have, being my yard basically, and turning it into a wonderful energy producing machine. And it's beginning to do that. And in fact, it's been doing it all along. I've just not always known the energies it's producing. Energy is an interesting thing. You know, sometimes it's used by metaphysical people, or not metaphysical people, but people who are into metaphysics, to say, you know, it's the energy of the circle and the energy of the sun and the energy of our collective consciousness and so forth. And I'm not against any of that. Let me just put that out. I'm not against any of that. I just don't see what it has to do with the science of nature and the science of ecosystems and so forth. Maybe there's some of that. I don't know. I'm not one to talk to about that. What I can recognize, or what I do recognize and want to point out, is that everything has energy. Water is an energy, because when you drink it, it hydrates your system. And if it's healthy water, it will keep you alive. Light is an energy, because it is needed for photosynthesis to occur in plants. And plants take the carbon out of the soil and the nitrogen out of the air, and they turn it into a leaf that I can eat, I can consume, and I am healthier because of it. And I have nutrients to my body because of it. All those kinds of things are energies. And wind is an energy. We know we can, we've all heard of wind energy and how it can be harnessed in that way. It can also be harnessed through growing trees. Trees eat wind, basically. That's where they get their nitrogen and so forth, is from the air. And the more air that's passing through, the more capacity they have to pull that out of the air. And obviously they need sunlight to be able to do that. And so you need that energy as well. Everything is an energy. And if I can harness that energy, then I can make good of it. Okay, if I, for example, now I'm getting off on a tangent because I'm not talking about environmentalism and so forth anymore, but let's talk about energy for just a moment. We'll talk more about it in another episode. But if I have chickens, I don't just have egg producers. I also have meat producers. I also have feather producers. Now, what can I do with feathers? Well, there's feather pens, which I'm not going to use, but many people love to buy, and they are willing to pay pretty good money for them. Well, maybe I could use that. They also produce egg shells, which of course you think, well, the shells is the part you can't use. And yet you're wrong, because first off, you can feed it back to the chickens to increase their, to strengthen their shells in the future, help them grow good eggs the next time around. They love eating eggshells. Smash them up, throw them in their feed. They gobble it up. They love it. It's good for them. Another thing you can do with shells is you can hollow them out, blow them out, paint them, and sell them online for $40 a dozen. Okay? If you know how to paint on an egg, you get on Etsy, that's the low-end price for painted, blown eggs. Now, that's more than what you would get by selling eggs, which is another energy you can get out of it. Is selling the eggs themselves for money. Now, chickens are also bug eaters, and so they have work that they can do in getting rid of pests in your garden. They also are great at making fertilizer out of whatever you feed them. You feed them food, they spit out fertilizer out the other end. And so looking at those multiple uses, all of those are energies. And if you know how to channel as many of those energies as you can, the more you can channel those energies, the more abundance you have. And if, for example, I can be selling manure, selling eggs, sometimes selling painted eggs, selling feathers, selling chickens, because chickens are great at producing chickens, then I could potentially have a ridiculous cash flow from that. Now, there's a lot of work, business plans, and all that stuff to be put into that. But believe me, there is a heavy potential there, a great deal of potential there in all those ways. And that's just chickens. Let's look at mustard plants. Let's look at radishes. Let's look at soil creation. Let's look at mulch and you know, whatever, hay, you know, there's no limit to the potential there. But going back to the point that I was trying to make initially, before I got off on my little tangent, taking this approach of growing the world around you, creating and designing an ecosystem, that is a positive thing that anyone can do. I don't care who you are. You may say, but I don't have a yard. Well, do you have access to dirt? Do you have access to a pot that you can put dirt in? Because you can begin to produce something that is, you know, like a tree, for example. The trees from my previous property, I had for several years in pots on my porch before I was able to plant them in the ground. And so don't tell me that you can't. And don't tell me that you won't. And besides that, too, there's indoors that you can grow things as well. You get one of those big 30-gallon bins, fill it with dirt, and start growing things in it. You're going to find you have a little forest in your house. And it's going to produce all kinds of stuff. And it's up to you to decide what stuff you want to grow and what you want to do. And my point is that if I do this on my property, and I basically make it this production machine, and then I go around and encourage my neighbors and say, look what I've done. Look what you can get out of my yard. You're welcome to some of this. Do you want clippings for this? Do you want to grow some of this? I have seed for this. I can help you with this. If I'm doing that, and that idea starts to spread, then not only are you producing for abundance for multiple households, but you're spreading this idea that is not only good for the environment, but actually restores the environment, brings it back to full health and vitality. All those things like pollution and smoke in the air that I once considered so evil, which I'm not going to say that they're good, but that's CO2. Carbon dioxide. What do trees like? What do plants like? Carbon dioxide. Now it's true, me and my animals don't like breathing that much carbon dioxide. But what happens if my neighborhood and my town and my state and my country all adopt this idea of let's grow and grow and grow stuff? Let's just make forests everywhere, growing the plants that we want there. What's going to happen? Well, I can tell you this. That's going to be one of the most effective ways to suck pollution out of the air that I can imagine. And in the process, we're going to find other ways of dealing with the problems that we have. Suddenly, your need to travel for 100 miles to work suddenly changes because, well, look at this. We've got so much abundance of this. I could do this full time. I could work doing this focused around my apples, for example. I could start an apple business, whether it be applesauce, apple pies, whatever. I can be selling apples. Maybe I'm selling them at farmers markets. Maybe I'm producing new varieties of apple and selling the trees. There's no limit to the possibilities. And really, it is a machine of production. The traditional American, and I say American in quotation marks because we're not talking about the ideals of Americanism and so forth, but the traditional American home is, or lifestyle is, go to work to earn money, spend that money on a really expensive house, use your time fixing up your yard to look amazing, to look better than your neighbors, have a well-manicured lawn, spend hours weeding and mowing and all these things, and spend money to be able to power all those things, spend money to get the things that you want in life, such as, you know, you want to get better at a sport, you want to, you know, you have dreams, you spend money to fulfill those dreams, and in the end you have either a big debt or you haven't fulfilled all the things that you set out to do, or you don't get to live that dream, that quote-unquote American dream. Okay, it's all about spending money. And of course, in order to spend money, you have to make money. So you're spending most of your time at work. Let's face it, most of your time at work. I'm not going to include the 8 hours you're sleeping, because we all need that regardless of whether we want it or not. And our bodies quickly suffer and become inefficient, and our work goes down if we don't get sufficient sleep. So we're just going to assume that you're getting the 8 hours you need every night, whatever, and you're doing this right, and you're working 40 to 80 hours a week, whatever, somewhere in between there, and you've got the money for all your stuff that you're paying for. What the heck is that? What is that? That's consumption only. You're working in order to consume. That's all you're doing. If everybody were to turn around and take this approach of producing for abundance, even, then our garbage would be chicken food. Our chickens would produce our eggs that we need. Don't ever need to buy eggs again. We would grow our lettuce that we planted from seeds from the lettuce that we grew last year, that we planted from lettuce we grew the year before that. Basically, we would never have to buy food. Remember, we're talking about the ideal, about the what you're working toward, what the potential is. You're able to produce most of your food, and then the parts that you aren't able to produce, well, I don't know too many people that produce their own baking powder and salt. Well, I have tons of extra eggs, and so I can sell those, by salt, by baking powder, by whatever. Those needs, it becomes, I'm producing, and I'm doing it in a way that is not only good for the earth, but actually making it a more abundant place. I can provide for some of the needs of my neighbors. I can help others who are in need. I can even provide jobs for them. Some of them, maybe even it's just an exchange of an hour a week of harvesting to be able to take 10% of the harvest. I mean, how cool would that be? Be able to just say, tell you what, you pick the apples and put them, in these baskets, and I will let you take 10% of everything you pick as payment. That's fantastic. I would totally do that. I love apples, and harvesting is not a big deal to me. So I'm going to grow my own apples too. And if somebody starts doing this often enough, well, maybe I can give them a tree. Maybe I can sell them a tree, in exchange for harvesting or whatever. So you can see that when you take this approach, when you change your mindset into a design mindset, then everything works in your favor. Everything does, because everything that you needed before, you're producing now. It may be a little bit different than what you were getting before, but chances are it's better. The food is better. The work is better. The fuel is more efficient and produced on your own. You don't have to buy it. The inputs that you do put in are minimal and don't necessarily cost money. Maybe they take a little time. Maybe they take some communication with other people. The point is, having this approach, I don't see any reason it can't save the world. And not just from pollution, but from poverty, from hunger, in many cases from disease, from energy crisis. And I'm not saying it solves every problem, but I am suggesting that it solves enough to give it a serious, serious consideration as a people. And honestly, let me just put this out there, because many times these kinds of conversations lead into, oh, yeah, we need to make laws that provide for this, and we need to make laws that do this. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. First off, yeah, I'm going to vote for what I think is right. Of course I will. And if there's somebody running for office that I think is better for it than another, yeah, I'll vote for them. I'll even encourage other people to do the same. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about designing systems for abundance. Okay? I don't need the government to mandate that for me. And sometimes in these circles, you get this impression that you know, when you take this approach, you're being some kind of anarchist. And I'm sorry, if you see it that way, if you see it as anti-government, then you're missing the whole point. The point is, this has nothing to do with government. You produce for abundance, and the government will follow along. The government has not caught up to where you are if you're doing these things. It's true that you're going to run into bumps and so forth. You're trying to store water so that you can use it this and this, and maybe there's a regulation. Well, do what you can do legally, and what you'll find is as your neighbors pick up on it and people start seeing, wow, this is amazing, look what it's doing for us, they're going to start voting to change those laws. We're not attacking the law. The law is following us. It's following behind us saying, okay, we need to make this available because it's doing X, it's doing Y, and it's doing Z. It's just sense, common sense to be doing this. And so we need to make it more possible. Let's not even worry about the government in all of this, okay? Do what's legal. Don't try to step outside of what's legal. You don't need to. There's too many other possibilities for that to be necessary. And the laws and so forth will follow. So this is not a political thing. It's not anti-political either. It's just on a completely different plane that has nothing to do with anything political. Okay? And people will argue, you know, well, but that everything's political, and I don't care. That's fine. Whatever. You can think that. And if you want to be anarchist about it, that's your choice. I choose not to be. I don't see any point. I think there's too much abundance available with the limitations that we have. And as things fall into place and things are working for us, people are smart enough to see when something's working and things will change in our favor. So, the point is, I like this approach not because it's saying save the earth, but because it's actually saving the earth. It's not going around saying we've got to do something for the whales. It's actually doing something for the whales. It's like, I don't care what the negatives are. I'm going to be doing this good thing, regardless of what the consequences are. And yet, when you look at the consequences, they're solving those problems. So, with that, I'm Charles Hathaway. Thanks for listening to another episode of